Bwana asifiwe. Happy New Year. If you can see me, just say Happy New Year down there. Thank you. Happy New Year. It's such a joy to see all of you. I hope you can hear me very, very well. One of my dreams when I was a small boy was to become a pilot. I never did that. I became a pastor. They have peace, both of them, and I'm Philip, you know. So I think they gave me this to make sure that I have achieved my dream. So I hope you can hear me well. Okay. It's a joy to see all of you here. Thank you, Karibuni San, our visitors. And because our time is way much gone, please just to ask you that you allow me to extend the service in a few minutes so that we can be able to share together the word of God. So I don't know how you are able to cross over the year. We used to call it jump. You know, they've come up with other names, you know, crossover and all those things. But for us, we still know that it's jumping. You know, and I don't know how your week has started, but from my side, maybe just to share two highlights that have happened throughout this week, is that I have two small girls. God has blessed us, me and my wife, two small girls. And one, the firstborn, was taken to went to school last, the other 2018 years, and the other one joined school this past week. And you might be wondering, why am I so happy? But the journey, you know, when we were expecting the firstborn and the secondborn, my wife went through a very hard time of pregnancy. And at one point, you know, the doctors were, and even myself, they included, we were thinking, or they were giving me the option of choosing between my wife or this pregnancy. But God was able to come and he sustained that, and we have the two children in quick succession with a difference of about 1 year. That's a great thing until you take them to school, you know. And I now have learned my lessons. But looking at them, you know, it's a gift that we never deserved. And so taking them to school, it was a great joy. And I'm looking forward to a great time in future. That means that I'm also a bit, I'm looking at my wallet and I'm wondering if it's onions which are there, because I'm always crying. What has happened? You know, the onions, you know. But we thank the Lord. And so I've been telling my wife that my favorite verse is Acts chapter 3 verse 6, silver and gold, I have none. What I have, I share with you. So let me share with you the word of God. But also something else that happened throughout this week is that we took a friend, a colleague, one of our pastors, yesterday to Nyeri to go and be able to, he plans to get married this year, to change his name. And so we made the first visit, as was this. Just imagine, as was this. I'm in that category now. And we had a great time. But I think one of the things that I'm thanking the Lord is the faith that Pastor John Agagwa has. Who goes to Russia in January, the first weekend of January, you know. And we were welcome there and we had a great time. We ate meat. Who offers you meat in January again? And so we enjoyed. And the people of Nyeri, they were very, very good. And so this year, I think it has started very, very well. And the reason I'm saying this is because New Year gives us a time or a chance to be able to renew our hopes, you know, our hopes to in the God who makes all things new. And so if you had no reason to celebrate that it's another new year, just know that God always makes things new. And that's why we are celebrating. And may God give you a reason to be able to bless him for that. His mercies are new every morning. And so this new year is a gift from God. And we can be able to count the milestones that God has allowed us to witness or even to see. But even as I say so, last year, 2018, was a very hard year to many of us. We've talked to many of you guys, and we acknowledge that last year was a very hard year. We started the year with sad news of losing one of our former congregants, and week in, week out, we were attending many, many funerals. At one time, I think we had about two or three funerals in one weekend to attend and to be there for you as our dear brothers and sisters. So we acknowledge that many of you are starting the year in a rather sad note, that someone who you had held dear last year is no longer there, maybe a parent or a sibling or a friend. And so we acknowledge that last year was a hard one. We had to be there also for many, you know, not just lost through death, but also lost through in material loss, you know, having a few challenges here, financial challenges, business challenges, and many other things. So to many here, I have to say that it was a hard year. But let me encourage you that it's not a wasted year. Whether it's loss by death or loss, material loss, it is not, you know, it is not a wasted year. and God is the one who repays. He says in Joel 2:25 that I will repay for the years the locusts have eaten. He's the only one who is able to turn the hand of time. So may you continue trusting him. If it was a good year, like I know many friends here, some who got married last year, some who got blessed with children last year, many others, you know, were granted material blessings, who were able to go and open a few houses there to bless cars and many other things. It is not your best yet. So God will be able to increase you and to reward you in that regard. But here in church, we also thank him for increasing us. I think we started with a few members here of the congregation, and now we are many. We have about 500 kids in the Ruaka Kids that Pastor Billy leads. And so we thank the Lord for increasing us in that regard. We attended graduations of some of you guys, and so we bless him in that regard. So no matter the year, you know, all of us have a reason to thank the Lord for, you know, and to trust him with the future. I like this quote that says that never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. He's the one who knows the next few years how it will be like. And so you can continue trusting in him in that regard. But as the new year unfolds, we jot down different promises to ourselves and also to others, business targets. You know, we come up with strategies on how to be able to achieve all those goals that we have. We come with financial promises, financial targets. We come with education promises, education targets, and also health promises that I'm going to eat fit. You know, I'm going to eat well. I'm going to eat vegetables now. And you can start it small. First, by coming to where we live, the larger Kitusuru area, we have big farms of sukuma wiki and greens. Just come and pass by. You know, if you say that you're going to eat greens this year, just pass by. You know, you can start in that regard. Pole, initial steps. Passing through a market, going to the vegetable section of a supermarket. It's one way of starting, okay? So let's celebrate the small milestones that God will bring to us. But I want us today to read and benefit from a book in the Bible that shows us that God is the ultimate promise keeper. We might make promises to ourselves and to others, but God is the ultimate promise keeper. And I want us to see how faithful he is to keep those promises, you know, how the children of Israel, you know, trusted in him, and finally he fulfilled all those promises. And I want to let you know that we can commit this year all the things that we have to this faithful God, because he'll be able to make all those dreams and all those plans to come to fruition. Please stand with me to the book of Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24, that's where we are going to spend a few minutes there. I'm going to read from the book of NIV, Joshua chapter 24. It's the last chapter of that book just before you get to the book of Judges. Let me start from verse 13, but I encourage you to go and read the whole passage, and we'll be able to see segments of that. So verse 13 says, "So I gave you a land on which you did not toil, and cities you did not build, and you live in them and eat from their vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are now living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our fathers out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too, we will serve the Lord because he is our God." Joshua said to the people, "You are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he has been good to you. But the people say to Joshua, no, we will serve the Lord. Then Joshua said, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord. Yes, we are witness, they replied. Now then, said Joshua, throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. And that's the word of the Lord. We may not have enough time to go back to Joshua chapter 1 where this story unfolds. But let me tell you that this book of Joshua starts in a very unusual manner. It starts by telling us that the great leader and prophet that God had anointed, and that is Moses, that he is dead. The children of Israel, you know, they were just about to taste the promises of God, but their leader dies. And these promises had been promised way before, about 500 years before. And that is found in Genesis chapter 12, verse 6, that where Abraham was standing, God promises that, you know, your descendants will be able to grant them this land. And let me just read it for you. This is what it says. Genesis chapter 12, verse 6. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring, I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. And so they're just about to taste these promises, this great land that the Lord had promised 500 years before. And now their leader who was taking them dies. And so it's a new era without their leader, the leader that they know. It's a new era. It's a new time. But it's a very uncertain time and perhaps a hopeless time for them. This is a leader who had led them for over 40 years. And the reason for this uncertainty was not just to the people, but even to Joshua, who had been assigned to lead these people to the promised land. So the era starts with a burden of hopelessness. They were tired and weary. In the same way, some of us start this year like that. You know, perhaps last year we lost something. We lost a parent. We lost a sibling. We lost a dear relationship. We lost a health, a job, material loss, a dream or a hope. And even for me and my family, you know, we experienced a loss, you know, losing our brother-in-law through a tragic road accident last year in April. And even this Christmas was different for my wife and for her family because we have this culture of taking a photo every Christmas to celebrate the milestones. But my mom-in-law said, no, we are not going to have one because one of us is not there. And that photo didn't happen. So it's a different year to many of us. But let me tell you one thing, that it's during this time that in Israel history that they were feeling so hopeless and they were so uncertain of the future that God fulfills his promises to the children of Israel. He encouraged Joshua, a leader who had been given a huge mandate in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, with these words that, have I not commanded you? Be strong and be courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And I pray that that's the word of the Lord even to you today, that he will be with you wherever you go. But perhaps Joshua, like we do, we come up with different strategies at the work. How are we going to achieve and meet all these goals or these plans that we have for the year? Maybe I'm thinking that is the same way that Joshua, you know, when he was told that you are now the one to lead the children of Israel to Canaan, he came up with a few strategies on how to succeed in leading these children of Israel. But the Lord comes and gives Joshua the one thing that will make him successful. And it's equally what I encourage you with today. In verse 8 of chapter 1 that you can have a look at later, it says, do not let this book of the Lord depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. And that's the same even for us today. All the things that we have done, if we depart from the word of God, we are going to get lost. We may be able to achieve much, but we will not be successful. So Joshua surely obeys it, and God grants him military success. The military campaigns that he undertakes, all of them succeed. And he conquers the land that the Lord had promised to Abraham. With wisdom, he divided the land, you know, among the 11 tribes of Israel, apart from the descendants of Levi. And the last words that we see here in Joshua chapter 24, they're very, very critical, just as they are to many of us. I remember a few years when my grandfather was still alive, and he was well advanced in years. And any time that he'll summon us, we'll be able to dash home. We'll take the next matter to Shags and be able to spend time with him, because we knew that his time with us was nearing an end. And he told us many things on how we should live as, you know, as siblings, as uncles, as aunties, and many other things. And so when we hear the last words of a person, we must put a lot of attention to that. Even now, when sadly someone passes on, we want to hear who was the last person that they spoke to. What is it that they said? If they are on social media, we go there and you want to see what is it that this person was, or you know, the last thing that this person did, and all that. And for every leader we make, a leader will always make a final speech, and a pastor will always make a final sermon. And so this prophet, or this great leader, Joshua, gives his last prophecy and his last encouragement. So Joshua's words in chapter 24 are very, very critical, in the same way that also we love hearing the last words of a person. And so he calls for a sacred solemn assembly of the children of Israel at a place called Shechem. He gives them a few guidelines to help them remain faithful to God, you know, and to enable them enjoy the blessings of the Lord as the Lord fulfills his promises. And these strategies or these guidelines, even to us today, they are still alive even to us. They can be able to help us to rediscover, you know, our spiritual passions and to keep us inclined to the ways of the Lord, not just this year, but for the rest of our lives. And so I want to quickly check on them, the guidelines that we see there. And number one is that God, remember God's faithfulness. Number two is that resolve to serve God. And the other one is respond to God's requirements. Let's go to point number one. Remember God's faithfulness. First, when you look at this story, at this narrative, there is significance in the venue that Joshua chooses for the sacred assembly to renew their covenant with God, at the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. It is the place that God had promised Abraham that he'll give that land to his descendants. And now the children of Israel, 500 years later, stand at the same place. I'm trying to imagine what they were talking, what the parents were telling their children, and all that. But imagine they have already received the promise that God had made way before. They have the title deeds to their plots. You know, they have confirmed that their plots or their land that God has given them is what my people would call, you know, oil. You can translate that to what it means, you know, as it had been promised. That's a great land. There are cities that they did not build. There are vineyards that they didn't plant. There are wells that they did not dug, and all that. And so in this place, memories come alive with history. And Shechem tells them that God, their Redeemer, is faithful to keep their promises, to keep his promises. He is a promise keeper. He is a faithful God and can be trusted. Yes, they have been through hardships in the desert. They have faced armies. They have been challenged. They have fought. They have killed. They have been killed. But finally, God has been able to fulfill his promises. Friends, I want to let you know that God, even in the hardest of circumstances, that he's still a faithful God. That he's still a faithful God. His mercies are new every morning. Not every new year, but every morning. For he's faithful and true. If we are going to move forward as a church, as a people of God, who love and fear God, I want to let you know that we have to rejoice in the wonder of God's faithfulness. Some of us have forgotten that God is faithful and a promise keeper. May this event that we read here in Shechem remind you that God keeps his promises. But that's not all. Even as we do that, I want to remind you that God takes initiative to save and bless. When you go just a few verses in that chapter 24, from verse 3, there is something that triggered me. I'm going to read some segments of it. In verse 3, it says, but I took your father. I gave him Isaac. In verse 4, I assigned the hill country of Seir to Esau. In verse 5, then I sent Moses, and I afflicted, I did, I brought, I did this, I did that, I did all these things. The word I there, I counted, it has been repeated 17 times. And it tells you that God is the one who takes initiative to bless us, to save and to bless us. And so, we can be able to rely on his faithfulness that he'll come and be able to bless us. The second thing quickly that we can be able to check, the second point, is that after we remember God is faithful, we can now resolve to serve God. To serve God. In verse 14 and 15, Joshua says, you know, as we read there, verse 14 and 15, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped. Verse 15, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you are going to serve. Joshua is saying that, you know, guys, let us have some clarity. If you are in doubt, choose today whom you are going to serve. Will you serve the God who has done wonders before you, who has fought for you before? Or are you going to serve other gods? And he tells them, is it the gods that Abraham, you know, and his people served before I called him, that would have led him to nowhere? He asked them, is it the gods that Pharaoh served, who did not save him when I sent calamity to him? They said, no. And in a joking way, Joshua asked them, is it the gods of the Amorites who will lead you to be defeated? Because they had already defeated the Amorites on the ground or on the land that they were standing. They say no. So friends, brothers and sisters, serving God is a very conscious commitment that you have to make. It is deliberate. It is a well-thought choice. It is not a happenstance. It goes beyond volunteering. Serving the Lord is more demanding and very, very personal. It will cost you. It is making sure that your first commitment is doing what God wants to be done. I like the challenge there that Joshua gives himself a very personal conviction. And in a generation that is covered by a sea of confusion that we are in now, let me challenge the men who are here, all the fathers, the brothers who are here today, to emulate Joshua and to take charge of spiritual leadership at home. Let me tell you that the best legacy we shall leave to our kids is that spiritual commitment or spiritual priorities. That's the best legacy that we leave. Not family businesses, nothing wrong with that. But the best that we can be able to do is the spiritual commitment that we individually make. How are you going to take that charge as fathers, as men? First, be able to lead those devotions at home. Take charge of that. Pray for that. You know, you go to many events, men don't take charge even to lead the people to prayer. We don't read the Bible. We read it for our children. We don't read it for ourselves. Joshua says that for me and my house, this is it. We are going to be committed to the service of God. So that Bible that you have in at home is not a decor. It's not part of the decor in the house. It is life that you have. So lead your people. Let me encourage you there to lead, to lead your family in that regard. And if you are here, you know, we are committed to our mission statement that to promote personal intimacy with God, personal intimacy with God in order to build godly communities that will impact the nations. That starts with me, then to the society, to the community, and then to the nations. So I commend you to evaluate in the light of the day what alternative gods offer you, and because they have nothing, desire and say like Joshua, that for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So remember God's faithfulness and resolve to make a decisive and informed decisions to serve him and only this year. The last point there that I want us to reflect on is now that after we have remembered God's faithfulness and we have resolved to serve him, then we can be able to respond to his requirements. And Joshua challenges the children of Israel to throw out, to throw away the idols and to hold each other and to keep each other accountable in that regard. If I were in that assembly at Shechem that time, I would be astonished by the comments that Joshua makes in verse 19, if you may check with me. I'd be astonished because I have already said that I am going to serve the Lord. We are going to serve the Lord like you. And then Joshua says in verse 19, you are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. You have already said that I'm going to serve the Lord. Then you tell me that I am not able to do that. And the answer to that we can find in verse 23 that says, now then, said Joshua, throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. The children of Israel had clutched to some gods, had clutched to some things that they had trusted. Even if they were coming to this assembly and saying that we are going to serve the Lord, they had other things that they had put in place of God. So Joshua is going deeper with them. This is not a casual thing. He's not gleaning over. He's going deeper with them. He's asking them to throw away some things that they have kept or they had kept secret and not pleasing to the Lord. So if today God were to come to your bedroom, what will he find? Will he be happy with what he'll find there? If he were to come and ask you for your social media passwords, ask for your bank accounts passwords, bank statements, will he be happy? Are you a good steward of God's resources? Or are you going to be at a place of shame? What are the things that we put under the carpet? That's what Joshua is leading these people. Your phone passwords, if you were to ask all of them, and go to the history of what you've been able to do, the people that you have contacted, will God be happy? That's a personal challenge to me. God knows everything. He knows you when you wake up and when you lie down, when you go out and when you come in. There's nothing that is hidden from his face. But God, I have to let you know that he's a gentleman. He does not push or ambush, but he stands on the door and knocks. And whoever is willing, he's going to open. You can open and he'll come in. That's it, friends. So Joshua is telling these guys, you know what? Make this commitment. Throw away the idols that you have. Joshua doesn't want them to make the commitment through their lips or to do lip service. But whatever they said must be followed by a rejection of what God hates. So these years you make all these commitments, reject what God hates and be committed to what God loves. Don't let your heart envy sinners and other idols, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. There is a future and a hope in that regard, if you do that. So responding to God's requirements require accountability. We see that in verse 22 that says, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord. And that's it for us. We want to keep you accountable to the promises that you have made. Many of you will start the year with a desire to really serve and to perhaps to plug into a ministry. We want to keep you accountable in that regard. We'll be able to hear or to ask you, please join these communities, these home group fellowships that are happening. It costs. Will you be able to plug in and be there? So we are going to keep you accountable and be witnesses to what you have been able to say. Just like a marriage is very private but thrives in a community, that's what the word witnesses here is like. The people that perhaps you have asked, come and stand with us when you're getting married and be witnesses that these words that we have said here, the words of commitment that we have shared, we are going to follow them. So we want also to be part of that. So plug into the life of the church. When we invite you perhaps or when you have opportunities to minister to you, show up and you'll be able to serve God gladly together. So for us today, we remember God's faithfulness as we resolve to serve him and respond to his requirements. And we do not do that without hope. We rely on his hope. We rely on his guidance. And the children of Israel reflected all these things at near the great tree of Moreh, where Abraham sealed all these promises that God had made to him through sacrificing different animals. Just trying to see that at the great tree of Moreh, God promises Abraham that I'm going to give you this land. Hundreds or thousands of years later, we see the same thing happening at another place close to that, and that is at Calvary, on that tree, that rugged tree. When Christ died and shed his blood and died for our sins. What a great joy in knowing that Joshua led his people and fought many battles for them to be able to come to this place in Canaan. What a joy knowing that our Lord died on that tree, on the cross for us. And he has fought battles for us. He has fought and won shame, sin, and even our greatest enemy, that is death. We can trust him and we can rely on him. For that, we continue testifying and being amazed at his faithfulness. So we can come to him throughout this year and say that we remember your faithfulness, oh God, what you have done in the past, and we can rely on you. And because of that, I'm willing today to serve you diligently in everything. And in that regard, I'm going to throw anything that will be able to inhibit my focus on you and on you only. Let us pray. Lord, we have stopped to wonder at your amazing faithfulness, your incredible love poured out beyond contradictions. We know we face daily battles to let you be God. Nothing else is worthy of our devotion to you. Father, help us to start or to sort out some things you don't want us to have. Help us to throw out the idols in our closets. Thank you that we are not alone in this. Help us to renew our commitment that for me and my house, for me and these brothers and sisters' houses, we will serve you throughout this year and many years that will come. Father, forgive us for wanting more, more and more in this year. Instead, may we find peace, joy, and contentment in knowing you more and more. May you receive the greatest glory. Yes, Lord, thou art enough. Help that be the testimony of our lips this year, that, Lord, you are enough. But we ask that, Father, you bless us. You continue walking with us. You continue protecting us and blessing us, our families and our children. And so we trust in you that, Lord, this is going to be a fruitful year. And may you be able to bless us. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you.